shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. It's a spooky Halloween edition. That's not how a witch laughs that I just did.
What, cackling?
I went, meh, meh, meh.
That sounds like some kind of a weird bird of some kind.
Well, maybe that's what I turn into when I'm out of my witch form.
Ooh.
I'm a bird that just sits on a fence and goes, meh, 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 and makes people feel really weird.
Be one of those birds with a beautiful plumage on the top. Just
got
like a
beautiful
bright
plumage.
You do have beautiful
huge
plumage.
Tracts of land.
A true cardinal. Official. Oh, our guest this week is the beautiful and amazing and wonderful Lauren Martin, and we're so very glad.
Hi.
That she's here.
Thank you.
Because we had a really hard time finding.
Lucky for you, lucky I don't have a lot going on in my life.
Oh, thank God for us. Thank God for you.
Yes.
Thank
the wind
you
beneath my wings.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we wanted to have kind of a spooky day because it's the day before Halloween. And this is going to come out right after Halloween, so whatever. Just stay spooky. Yeah. I would like to stay spooky until Christmas, basically.
Absolutely. Well, it's spooky all year round when you want it to be.
Yeah.
It is, but I don't approve of when they try and throw Halloween parties, like on November 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
You know when, like, bars try to make money and they're like, come bring your Halloween costume.
Yeah,
no. It has to be
it's
more of a
away
state of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, you maintain the spookiness, you maintain the ancillary spookiness of Halloween without truly bringing the costume vibe,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. We just walk around feeling a little bit dark in your soul.
You carry in your heart.
And I love
your
to, like,
heart.
When I feel spooky, like, my posture changes and I look at things differently.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm tenting my fingers in
the,
a very...
Always the Mr. Burnsy fingers.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, I always
that's
look
a
at
power
things
stance.
It's like I look up at things instead
ooh
of looking
woo
at them. Ooh, did you just get spooked out?
I mean, you always look up at me, but that's because I'm a giant.
Short jokes.
Short jerks.
Short jerks.
Short jerks. I'm a short jerk.
I went to a Halloween party-ish last night, and it was just at, like, the neighborhood pub, but people were in costume, and
perfect.
I didn't realize, because I exited a Facebook thread much earlier. I was just like,
oh,
yep, I'm going to be there. I didn't want all the back-and-forth deliberations.
Who needs the group chat? No.
Yeah, but apparently they all decided they were going to wear costumes, and I just showed up, and everyone was all dressed up. So past guest Allison was the Bride of Frankenstein. She looked amazing.
Perfect.
And our friend past guest Bob dressed up as Julian from Trailer Park Boys, and his girlfriend went as Ricky, and they were so
kind
cute
of arousing.
And then they were like smooching, and it was really...
I want to write fan fiction about that.
Yeah.
That's some hot business right there. That's a great idea.
It was really good.
That is good.
I like couples' costumes. If it's a straight couple where they really fuck up the gender norms a bit, like, that's really
yeah
fun for me. It's not like Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy or some bullshit oh like that. Sorry
that's,
if anybody did
that's
that.
That's frightening, though.
Yeah, then you just
Raggedy
think about
Ann
dolls fucking.
That's some
that's
scary
right
shit
spooky.
Yeah.
I'm spooked.
I like Emily Heller was going to go as Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood with her.
Oh my God. Oh, I actually don't know who her boyfriend is. I was like, right, Adam right Conover. No, that's Lisa Hannawalt's boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
Who is the other Lisa Hannawalt, the co-host of Baby Geniuses with Emily Heller on the Maximum Fun Network. Available
free,
now.
Free plugs.
Free plugs. But yeah, no, Lisa Hannawalt is the production designer for BoJack Horseman.
I love that
she was
show
retweeting a lot of great BoJack Horseman costumes,
yeah,
and I was like, that actually would be really fun.
To do a Princess Carolyn costume?
Yeah, dress up as an anthropomorphized animal,
yeah,
or you could do a Zootopia.
Be surrealist. I was watching Zootopia last night. I was very upset. It's an upsetting show.
I mean, you didn't see the ending, so you don't know if they
redeemed
themselves.
I don't know what happens. Yeah, I fell asleep on the couch. I was into it. But I was uncomfortable at many parts for what I assume is a children's show.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. They touch on some sensitive subjects in that movie.
They do.
And I didn't know how to feel about it.
It's not a light touch of a satire kind of thing.
And
it's...
they're predators and prey.
Mm-hmm.
They divide them that way. So I was like, this is some sort of, you know, metaphor for human society and maybe
mm-hmm
race relations. Well, what does that say? Who are the predators? I guess white people.
Yeah. Yeah, usually.
Although I don't think they were represented that way in Zootopia.
No, it's, no. I really liked it, but then again, I didn't have the most critical eye on it, because it was just more, like, the thematically big deal stuff for kids, because it's, like, teaching them kind of, like, you can't have, like, stereotypes are not
yes
healthy, and
yes
they're they are poisonous to everybody, and it shows sort of the ripple effect of those kinds of stereotypes. So I mean, I liked, but I need to watch it again. I might watch it tonight and then follow up on this episode and it's be like, Lauren was right, it's garbage.
It's nice to watch things through the eyes of a child, though. It's also surprising.
Where did you get those eyes? That's spooky. Yes.
Yeah. Although it's disturbing to watch the movies we enjoyed as children, too, and see how freely they use, you know, certain slurs. And you're like, this is a PG
movie. Did you watch
movie.
Monster Factory, too? Or not Monster Factory, Monster Squad?
Yeah. I've seen Monster Squad,
I watched it for the first time this week. What instead of going to see fucking Against Me at the Commodore, I'm kicking myself. I did not feel up for it's my favorite band was playing at the Commodore. I had tickets. And my wife and I just were not up for it. Like, we couldn't bear the idea of getting to a place at, like, 8 o'clock and then having the band not go on till, like, 10:30.
I know.
On a Tuesday.
I know. I'm getting to that age.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Spelled with a Y in there for fun. So we ended up staying home and watching Monster Squad instead, which was really funny, actually. It was a really enjoyable 80s romp.
It's classic.
It's a super classic. It's, like, for some unknown reason, it's just, like, 100 years since all the monsters were sucked into a portal. They're coming out again on Halloween night, and only kids can stop them. So you got Dracula, you got the Wolfman, who is played by Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
I never saw it.
Good on you.
You
that
never
was
saw
smart.
Napoleon Dynamite.
I didn't.
I'm surprised you missed that little piece of the zeitgeist.
It was. I did it. It was deliberate because everyone's
it's
like,
too
"You
popular.
Gotta see Napoleon Dynamite."
Like,
and I'm
I
just
will
like,
not.
No.
Was very, fair enough.
Don't tell me what to do.
One day you're gonna have. This is how I feel about movies, though. Is one day you're gonna have the flu and you're gonna feel awful, and Napoleon Dynamite's gonna be on TV and you're gonna watch it because you're like, I can't move, and then you get to experience it free from all the hype and all the stuff.
You'd be like, oh, this does suck. Oh. I actually did like it.
I liked it too.
I don't have a TV.
It's true. Some people say they don't have TVs. They just mean they don't have TV hooked up to cable. You straight up don't have a TV, do you?
No, I don't. Amazing. But I do watch everything on my laptop.
That's true. You could see it if you wanted
to,
but you don't want to.
Stumble on things on your laptop.
Exactly. I curate my own experience. Oh, God, shoot me in the face.
We don't have guns.
Oh.
Good. I'll boop you in the nose. Boop.
We have guns. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So they got Wolfman. And there is a scene where Wolfman gets kicked in the balls.
In the nards.
Yes, I was going to get to the nards part. Or it's like, kick him in the nards. Wolfman doesn't have nards. Kick him in the nards. Kicks him. Goes down screaming. And he's like, wow, Wolfman does have nards.
I was
so
hoping
good.
It would be like, kick him in the nards. He doesn't have nards. And then they kick him. And then the Wolfman goes, ow, my nards.
That would have been good, too.
They needed you as a writer on that show.
They should have been script punching up for them when you were 3 years old.
You're very
Maybe
bad.
It would be funny, oh, if he said the nods pout. Oh my god, I'm so glad we brought this 3-year-old on to help curate this film so she could curate her own experience. And Swamp Thing and Frankenstein's Monster,
nice.
Who, of course, has a special relationship with a little girl in the film, and that's not meant to sound gross, it's just very sweet.
That's a throwback to, like, the old Frankenstein movie and the little girl.
He's actually just a gentle giant.
He is.
I love the Frankenstein story. I love Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
It's good shit.
The book and the film is an enjoyable experience.
Which
I just rewatched
film?
That. The one, it had Robert De Niro as the monster, and what's his name? The sexy Hamlet.
Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh.
I sometimes like, wait, was Kenneth Branagh in this film? Yes. I also am very sexually attracted to his Hamlet, and also to Ophelia in that movie, because it's Kate Winslet.
It's Kate Winslet, yes.
And they spray her with a cold hose. In that movie.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, she's in a very diaphanous gown, and she's being tortured because she's crazy, and it's supposed to be, like, cause it's supposed to be set in, like, the 1800s in this.
Yeah, it's more
modern.
She's,
like, in a sanitarium,
then.
And they spray her with a cold hose, and she's like, and I'm like, your boobs!
Yeah.
Which is probably not
she's
the
got,
right response.
Yeah. And then she's when she's, like, floating and drowning in the river, and you can just see the nips.
Just like, bloop. Sorry, Shakespeare. Actually, he'd be
he
really
would
have.
He wrote it that way.
Yeah, he would have been all
it's
over
like,
that
make
shit.
Sure you can see thine nips. Thy quivering nips. Dost thou know country matters, madam? That's like, can I touch your pussy in Shakespeare talk?
Yes.
I've had to study that play like 4 times now.
Do they say that in Hamlet?
Yeah, it's something about like, do you mean country matters? And he definitely means the C word. The see you next Tuesday
country
word.
Country matters.
Country matters, yeah. And
he's such a poet.
Sir, I know not what you mean.
You forget yourself.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, you know what? I feel like in high school, they're like, you know, like
a roll in the hay.
A roll in the hay, yes.
roll, it's a hay. Come on, it's fun.
Back to Frankenstein. Brought it all the way back to young Frankenstein.
Nice.
Frankenstein.
That was very, very well executed.
Thank you. We just really just ran a little gamut there.
I feel pooped. No, I don't. I feel wonderful.
Thank you. I had coffee for the first time in a week, and so I'm just like, hey, doing it. I'm so hyper right now.
Are you not a regular coffee drinker?
I have been investigating my heartburn situation. It's very glamorous. And when I drink coffee, I get really bad heartburn, especially at work and especially Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, that's the problem.
It's super acidic.
Drinking Tim Hortons coffee.
But then even my own coffee from home that I would make and bring in a little thermos, like it would just totally make me feel shitty. But if I put milk in it, it's fine, but I don't want to drink milk.
I do.
Because dairy kind of fucks me up. I don't know what to do anymore. My body's turning against me. It's really...
Just like get a big spoonful of peanut butter and eat that instead of drinking coffee.
Oh, God. So it's really just like... My body's basically being like, fine, if you won't take care of me, I'm going to make you feel really bad every time you eat something that's not good for you.
Oh, that's what your body does eventually.
Yeah. It's just like, fuck you. Okay, I guess you're not going to listen to me, so I'm just going to take care of this myself. Oof. Bad heartburn. That's like so bad you have to take off your bra and lie down in your office.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
Don't lie down when you have heartburn. It'll go right up.
I know that now.
How did you figure this out through practicing and... experiments.
I know. I don't really know much about acid reflux at all.
Aww.
But I went to the doctors. Yeah, I went to the doctor and she was just like, let me listen to your heart because it's like, do you get this pain like if you do exercise? Like, she's like, does it come on regularly? I'm just like, yeah, after drinking coffee and then also after eating lunch. She's like, it's probably not many small heart attacks.
Heart attacks every day.
Well, that's a relief.
Let me listen to your heart.
Listen to your heart.
When is coming? But yeah, so now I have a prescription for fucking Zantac.
That I'm supposed to. Is it above the 75? Or you get like Zantac 130 or something?
I don't fucking know. I haven't filled it yet.
Well, I hope it helps.
I don't know. It just
You're experimenting. Though,
I'm experimenting with more holistic means and cutting off coffee. And then apparently red wine also gives me like debilitating heartburn. So
yeah, I had to stop drinking it a long time ago.
Whatever.
I was getting sinus congestion from a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Milk.
Yeah.
One of them. Definitely. Yeah, I've had to cut down on my milk. And some certain wines would do it right away. So yeah, sometimes, you know, as you get a little older,
yeah,
your body just rebels.
I said that to my doctor where I was just like, I'm just here for boring body maintenance shit. Nothing
body
exciting.
Maintenance?
And she was just like, it's fine. I was like, look at this thing on my toe and then tell me if I have heartburn or not.
Oh my God.
This needs to be amputated.
Did I mention on the podcast before that I finally got a GP? Like,
oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned it on microphone. because I'd had a family doctor for a really long time and you retired around Christmas last year and there is nobody in my neighborhood. Because it's all senior citizens pretty much in New West where I live or very young families. So like
they
take up all the doctorate.
Gosh.
And I'm just like, stop, I have so many more years left than you. let me make them better.
You're just tired now, Mom.
Yeah.
It's not gonna get better.
So like it was impossible to find anybody nearby, but you know, my wife had a really cool doctor, so she's like, give her a try. You have to drive fairly far to get there because it's on Main Street, which is
really
it's like a 35-minute drive for me from home, but
You can always pop in to see me. Or give me a holler.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like for doctoring. I'm like, are you a secret doctor? Are you a witch doctor? That'd be pretty tight. But yeah, but I decided like I actually have to take care of myself. I made the distinction finally between self-care, ooh, bath bombs,
more than
and
baths,
wine, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's solitary pleasure is what that is. I mean, that sounds like masturbation, but you know what I mean?
You can also do that in the bath.
That's also
wine.
A form of self-care, I suppose.
That was
but, like,
every Sunday as a teenager. 2 hour
that's
baths.
That's so religious.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's so nice. She's praying in there. But that was, you know, Chris, you and I were talking today just on GChat before we kind of came out and did this the distinction between like real self-care going to the doctor for your bullshit dumb health stuff because you're like God, I guess I have to take care of this because it doesn't seem to be wanting to go away on its own.
You don't even want to talk about it, but you know, it's you have
boring.
To
and I have to make boring. Repeat appointments because it's like all these things you can only do like one per appointment, right?
So they have all the strict rules now,
so it's like I have to go to be tested for arthritis.
I did that too.
Did you have arthritis?
They're like,
no, you're just a wimp.
Well, they're like, he's like, yeah, kind of. He's like, but, you know, just keep moving.
Yeah, like, gravity is a cruel mistress.
Thank you.
Fucking awesome. So,
anyway, my wrist, though, you were making a wrist motion.
You know, I have very bad wrists, and I was telling you earlier that now that my tablet's broken, I have to go to the library and get big, giant fucking books, and they're making my wrists really sore from reading in bed.
It's probably because we've had too many Sunday night baths.
Probably so 2 minutes on an advance. That was the plot point on Grace and Frankie. Did you watch that where Jane Fonda gets her first vibrator on show? And then she's like, she's got an ice pack.
Her arthritis flares out. Yeah, I love that show.
Then they decide they're going to make sex toys for old ladies. And like, yeah, they can't wait for season 3.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to the doctor on Monday because I'm like, hey, I've been depressed for probably 2 years now. And I don't like it. And I've been going to therapy and it hasn't fixed it. So probably antidepressants. And, like, my wife's been after me forever to do that. Now I'm like, you know what? I don't have any motivation to do anything. I'm going to do that. I'm going to try that see if it helps. So you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. You got to keep on getting up that hill. That's it, life.
Running up that hill.
Just got to keep running up that hill. Yeah.
No problem. Kate Bush.
Yes. Yes, she's no problem at all. I love her. Mm.
Lovely.
Yeah. So that's what I did. So that's what I'm doing. I'm actually going to take care of myself. It's the boring kind of self-care that I hate. So
yeah, I did a lot more taking care of myself this week as well and ran into, right now, it's right before the fucking American election. It's almost over. Thank fucking Christ. But like, there's just been so much negativity, so many men that are just horrible and are just ruining everything. But I had so many interactions with the most gentle, kind men this week. It was wonderful. So I've been swimming at Britannia Pool, and the lifeguard one day when I, like, popped up on the one side, he's like, would you mind if I gave you some advice on your swimming strokes? I was like, thank you for asking, and yes, please. So he, like, corrected how I was doing the side crawl. He's like, that's going to be better for your back and this and that.
Oh.
And he's like, I've just, you know, you've been here, like, 3 days, like, I've kind of seen, and it's like, I noticed that you're kind of repeating the same things. That's going to actually injure your shoulder more.
Oh.
So, like, why don't you try doing this and that? And I did. And he was like, I did a few laps on that. He's like, yeah, that's way better. And I was like, I'm so encouraged. Thanks, Dad. I mean, no.
Thanks, Daddy.
No.
Gross. Perfectly timed.
Oh my God.
That's so nice. You hate being told what to do, but it sounds like he did it in a really, like, helpful way and asked your permission first.
Yeah, it was great. And he was just very kind about it and was just like, oh, you know, I've just been seeing, I can't help but say something. I hope that doesn't bother you. I was just like, that's really kind. Like,
I just don't want you to hurt yourself kind of thing. That's
nice. So that's awesome.
And he obviously is sort of a swimming expert. So.
Yeah.
They don't just let anybody stand up in the big chair.
He was teaching swimming lessons to children earlier that day, and so he was very gentle with me. It was
that's
very
so
nice.
Sweet.
And so, yeah, just, like, sitting in the hot tub there and in the sauna, that's been really nice. But then I also went to the dentist for the first time in a year.
Good for you.
And I was expecting much worse, but it was actually fine. No fucking cavities.
Hey,
champion.
Right on.
Yeah. But I had a male dental hygienist for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
And he was phenomenal and so gentle and so like tender, but like not in a creepy way. That sounds creepy, but like, I don't know. He would just
put
like
my hands in your mouth.
Well, because like, I don't know, the normal dental hygienist that I have, like, she
they're rough.
She was pretty rough with me, and then
sometimes they're mean too, and they're like, "You're not doing."
So you're
this.
Bleeding because you don't floss, right? Yeah. They're like, garroting your teeth with floss.
Yeah, and so then he, first of all, was very kind, like actually made me move my head a lot to like reach things in a better angle instead of just being like open wide and just
again,
like, jamming.
Asking.
I think he's probably like very sensitive to that because it's kind of a weird, like, men putting their fingers in your mouth could be very triggering to a lot of people.
That's
so like
true.
They asked me on the phone, like, you're gonna have this guy, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
That's
you
so
know.
Normative to have women. My cousin is a male dental hygienist,
actually,
and he was the only one in his whole school.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just, so he's probably more sensitive to that too. So he was very much like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and like narrating the whole thing. And he like did the polish and he did the scrapey and all that and like didn't feel bad at all.
Hmm.
And I was just like, are you sure you're done? He's like, yeah, we're done. I'm like, but it didn't hurt. That's really nice.
Wow.
And I was like, you did a really good job. So I'm going to try to...
You give him a sticker.
Yeah, basically.
You get to pick something from the prize drawer, Steven.
But yeah, I don't know. There was just something really, and then at the end he was just like, and here I'm going to tell you how to do this and do that. And it wasn't like shamey, judgy, like you're not doing this enough. And he actually said, like, a lot of people floss too hard and brush too hard.
Yes,
and that's been eroding people's gums. So like, I really want you
issue.
To like,
get a super
and he, like,
soft toothbrush.
Yeah, he like showed me how to do
circles,
a few things and
circles.
Oh God, even you doing that is just making
you
me
hate
up, like,
hearing people brush their teeth. I always forget
I don't like that either. I don't like watching it.
Yeah. Or here I am talking about it, but just you, like, doing the circle.
I just mimed it, that's all. I barely opened my mouth.
You brought out the toothpaste.
Oh, I have the willies.
So sorry.
So many willies. But anyway, so just these nice gentle men. So thank you for helping me get my shit back together, dudes.
Excellent. Yeah.
And more of that, please.
I agree with that. Earlier this year, I deemed 2016 the year of helpful men. This was before Trump kind of came onto the scene. But because I was referred to a GP, mm-hmm. who is a very helpful man, and I was referred to him by my chiropractor, who's a helpful man. Mm. And all of a sudden, I just found that there was these very gentle men.
Yeah.
Helping me out, and I sometimes get a little angry about men, and I say it like that, like I get so angry that it just becomes this conglomerate.
Yes.
And my poor husband goes, I know, is it the men? I know. What have they done now? And I tell him what they've done and that he's complicit in it. but I try to stop and remember when there are good men.
Look for the helpers.
Good look for the helpers.
Mr. Rogers says.
The patron saint of the good man.
Yeah.
He is. Although I liked Mr. Dress-Up more. Because we're Canadian.
I mean, I liked him a lot. Boy, were those puppets fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. With their rosy little nose and cheeks. Like, oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
they're so little glossy.
Little circles.
Casey and Finnegan, not a fan.
Casey's not a great, name. You know? Like, I don't know. I should probably backpedal before you go too far.
I definitely did have friends who just had a baby named Casey. She's perfect. But yeah, it does make me think of the creepy puppet. That's the only association.
Or like it makes me think of the 70s. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else was named Casey. Like, oh, Casey at the Bat or Casey Jones riding the train high on cocaine.
Yeah. Or whom I'm thinking
Casey
of.
Casey Jones, you'd better watch your speed. Just saying. There's trouble ahead, trouble behind. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know the next lyric, so.
I also have something that I need to formally apologize for, because we didn't do it on the last podcast.
Okay. Formally apologize.
I need to be a rat apologist.
Please put on your fanciest clothes for this formal apology.
Yeah. I was being mean about Katie's pet rats, because they gave me the willies, and I just kept saying it all the time, and anytime she would tweet something about them, I would go, ew, or gross.
I think you apologized on the last podcast.
I don't think I did.
Oh, I thought you did.
I was planning to, but I wanted to make it official, because I voiced my displeasure on one episode, but then Katie came, like, she just said to me, like, one day, like, Chris, every time you post something like that, it really actually hurts my feelings a lot, and I had no idea.
Can I ask you to not do that?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, sorry.
You were so, that was like the best apology ever. I was like, normally I don't like to ever call anything out, because I'm like, nah, it's fine.
It's good.
It's fine. But then it was like, oh, great, now I'm going to call everybody out for everything, because I like that apology so much.
Great.
No, it did. It felt really good. You're like, wow, that was really insensitive of me. I'm so sorry. I was like, okay, great, I'm fine now.
Yeah.
And it takes very little to play.
Well, and I had no idea, because you were like, and I've stopped posting things about them. I feel like I have to hide everything and like about me. And I love these little fuckers. I'm just like,
I do love those little fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are little fuckers.
They're your babies.
They're my horrible babies.
Rat babies.
It's my little rat babies. I think that's insulting to people who have actual babies or even people who have dogs that are actual work.
Yeah.
Because the rats are not that much maintenance. They kind of just hang out for a couple hours a night and like, you know, poop in a corner of their cage, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. I have a gecko now, so I...
Oh, so
it's
you
an
know.
Even lazier pet. He doesn't even always want to hang out with us.
I'm that's like, really cute,
hey,
though.
Hey, what's up? And he goes back in his cage.
You're like,
yeah. I relate. And I go, hi, lazy lizard. And then I remember to honor that part of yourself, too. It's a good inspiration.
To be a lazy lizard sometimes?
Sometimes you just gotta lie around.
Under a heat lamp.
And then get hot.
Just kind of
self-care.
Very, yeah. Learning it from a lizard. My two beans, I just call them my beans.
Beans.
My beans, my babs, and my beans. They just hang out, and they have, like, a little fleece hammock. And they just, just two little kidney beans. Fitting into each other perfectly, like they shape themselves into like a little yin yang, and sometimes they just put their little snoots out the side, so you just see like the little snoots, just little whiskery snoots, and they're pretty sweet. But yeah,
I just realized like even I was visiting people and they had pet rats, and I was like texting Katie like, ew, there are rats here.
They scrabble so much,
and I was just like, on reflection, like, that's really, that was mean. I, like, went out of my way to, like, shit on something you loved.
You're just sitting at home enjoying yourself, and then you get a message.
A text from afar. That thing that you love, I fucking hate that. I'm really sorry. It was so bad.
I could text you and be like, Hamilton, not that good. I would be a lie, though.
That would be a lie from you.
I tried not to love it for so long, and now I've just got fucking Lin-Manuel Miranda's tweets. He's retweeting all his old Vines, because Vine's shutting down.
Yes. Yes. Sign of the times. It's just
very adorable.
Like, all of his, while he was working on Hamilton,
I fucking hate how cute he is, because it's like he's so sincere, it's almost disgusting.
You know
what I mean? Because it's like, oh, that's very vulnerable. I kind of want to shove you in a locker right now.
Yeah. It brings it out in all of us.
It does. It does. Oh, that's how I felt about watching Monster Squad, because the kids are big fucking dorks, but they're, like, pedantic about the stuff that they love, like real nerds are.
Yeah.
And I was just like, great casting, because I want to bully these nerds.
Right?
And the big, mean bully kid was definitely the brother from The Wonder Years, who is also, like, I'm like, talk about typecasting, because that guy just had a bully face.
Yeah.
Super bully face.
The dad from Wonder Years is on that new show, I know you don't have a TV, Pitch, it's a fantasy show, because it's about the first female pitcher in the baseball sport association.
The BSL, the baseball sport league.
Yeah, but it has the dad from Wonder Years, and it has Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell with a big grizzly beard. I didn't even know it was him.
Does he have a giant cell phone in it?
Just
like a big gray brick.
He might be hidden under his beard.
It's just like in the beard, just pulls it out. It's like Hermione's bag of holding in there. Oh wait, no, that's not what it's called. It's bag of holding. That's some fucking D&D bullshit right there. Sorry, I'll see
you. You know what? It's all over my head.
I don't know anything about D&D. I'm just too nerd adjacent.
My sister played D&D. I'm nerd adjacent. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I would play with my Barbies to my Celine Dion CDs.
I truly wish everybody could have seen the physical work you did with that just now. Like, oh, that's cool.
Looking over my shoulder.
I wish I could GIF it and then add it to the post.
I love GIFs.
I just love them.
I love them.
They're so fucking good. That's like a picture, but they move and they're so sound.
That's how most of my chats are now.
Just on Facebook?
I just search GIF, hello, and then I'm like, ha, that's a funny GIF.
This encapsulates what I want to say perfectly.
Just type every sentence in there and then send GIFs.
Yeah, and I've started using so many more emojis than I ever have, because now I have predictive text on my phone and it will, like, pop emojis up.
Ooh,
and I'm like, ooh, instead of writing spaghetti, I'll just put a picture of spaghetti. It's so exciting.
We're, like, turning back into hieroglyphics. Yeah.
Yeah.
The stories with pictures.
But they're agreed upon pictures, because it's on everybody's phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it is.
So it is essentially a new glyphic language.
Which is kind of cool.
It's like, and just how many things that an eggplant can stand in for is really impressive. It's just dicks, actually. Just yeah, only
mostly
dicks.
Or eggplant. Sometimes eggplant. It's like, we're gonna
dick parmigiana. You're gonna have dick parmigiana for dinner tonight? Ooh, you use a freak, girl. I can't remember. I'm
picturing someone sprinkling a shaker of parmesan on their dick.
Okay, baby, that's what you want. I can't remember where I saw it, but I think it was on Twitter where somebody was saying, like, I bet you money that during this new emoji movie that's coming out, someone's going to get kicked in whatever their nards would be and go down clutching and saying, ow, right in the eggplant.
Fair.
It's like, that's going to happen.
That's
You're right.
Fair.
Now that you thought of it, it's definitely going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Are we still being spooky, guys?
Oh, yeah, we're just getting off track completely.
Because it's just so nice to...
We're not even talking
so nice
about scary
hang out.
Movies, yeah. I know, it is nice to hang out.
Yay!
Lovely.
It's
lovely
good to have
people.
You back on the pod, Chris.
Thank you. I know, I saw you last at your show.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Big Rock comedy show.
Mm-hmm. You can call it my show if you want. I'm down for that.
Well,
it's like one-third mine. And I was hosting it. It was the first time I've ever hosted a comedy show.
Yeah, it was so
good. It
was
hilarious. I had so much fun.
It was really fun. I wish that we could have gotten a few more people, because I feel like the vibe would have been a little bit better in the audience, but...
I was surprised. Like, a whole, like, four big, like, full tables all kind of walked out, and I was like, no.
Really? They were there for a brewery tour. We offered to let them stay for free, actually, but they just were like, no, it's okay.
Did they have another brewery to get to, maybe?
I don't think so. I think they did a tour of that brewery, and then we're leaving.
That is a fancy brewery.
It's nice.
I have a little affinity to it because Big Rock's like originally from Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that place and they have good snacks.
Calgary or Big Rock?
Big Rock.
Okay.
Not Calgary.
No, I do like it, and apparently they've launched a brand new menu, so we'll your face looked frightened for a second.
They got rid of the mushroom ravioli, and I'm really upset about it, because I only had it once, and it was so good, and I came back for it again, and they didn't have it. So
they might, but they have rotating poutines.
No. They're not going to, she told me.
Oh, no. I did have their plain poutine once and didn't like it.
We had jambalaya poutine last time.
Was that any good?
It was great, but there was only one piece of sausage.
Rude.
Yeah. It's
fucking rude.
Well, they try their best. Let's.
I'm gonna beat up somebody there.
You got pulled sausage there.
Pile me on my gumbo. Something or other.
Something gonna have some fun out on the bio.
There's a. I don't know who. I honestly need to figure out what his name is and what he does there. But I think he's a barback or a bartender there. He has a little crush on me. Aww. And every time I don't know. He like blows me kisses all the time and does that thing where you know you just sort of like lightly place your hand on someone's back and he's always like, hey, do you want to do a Jameson shot with me?
Oh.
And he buys it, so I'm like, yes, sir, I do. Yeah. Clunk. So I think he likes me a little bit. But
you know, I just had the observation in my head as I was walking down the street and some young man-boy, looked at me and I was like, you know, when I was in my 20s or like especially my early 20s and someone would look at me, I'd always assume like, oh, maybe there's something on my face. Like, maybe, why is he looking at me? And now that I'm older, I just assume they're sexually attracted to me. Even though I'm less, arguably, you would say you're less attractive than you might be 10 years ago, but your confidence mm-hmm. is so much different. And that I do think that they're trying to sleep with me.
I've gotten I just kind of assumed people wanted to fuck me all the time when I was younger. Not that I was even particularly hot, but just because that was how people behaved. Was just kind of like, not going to talk to you like a person, just going to talk at your boobs or your butt.
Talk at your butt?
And just, nowadays that would be a really interesting tactic. Like, yeah, it's large.
No, turn around. I want to talk to your butt.
I need to talk to your butt about this. Gross. Fart noises. Sorry.
Okay, so let's get spooky.
Do we want to get spooky? Because we're like, ooh, street harassment, maybe.
Yeah, we don't need to go down this lens. No. We've complained about that enough.
Oh, there's been entirely enough talk of just sex crimes in general. Like, I kind of don't want to talk about them on the podcast today.
They're scary in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be fun scared instead.
Yes, so we've lit some candles. We've got the crystal out on the table as well.
Ooh, does anybody have any ghost stories?
Well, you said that your friend stayed at a haunted place.
Yes, my friend stayed at a haunted place. She's a very practical, my friend Megan, she's a very regular attendee of the Big Rock show as well, but she was in Portland during the last one. She's like, I'm so sorry I can't come.
Cut.
And then as soon as she's done, she's out of my life forever. But she sent me a note, or I just sent her a note saying, hey, how are you doing? Like, how was your trip to Portland? She's like, it was fun, but it was fucking super haunted. And I was like, I thought she was using it as like a slang term I didn't understand because she's cooler than I am and like goes to parties and things. So I was like, what does that mean? She's like, oh, the Airbnb we stayed in was absolutely fucking haunted.
Wow.
She's like, I don't believe in that stuff, but I saw a goddamn ghost. Yeah, she's like, and also I had night terrors for like a sleep paralysis for the first time in over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So, but the other thing is other people saw this thing. It was like a figure at the end of the hall that they saw, and it was like cold ice winds, and it was not that cold outside. Like, it was colder inside than it was outside. There was no explanation for it. And she like felt that the house didn't want to let her leave and go to a hotel and kind of stuff. So she like had come back to get her gear and was like, I'm not staying in this place. It's so scary. And then somebody else saw the thing again the next day.
Wow.
So I was like, I didn't get a lot of details on it, but it was super spoopy. I was like, oh my God, I want to know everything about this. I'm like really hype on ghost stories right now.
Ooh. Griller.
I've told mine on the podcast before about how I saw one, like, because I went to school where there was a fucking cemetery on the same plot of land.
You told it on the last episode.
I did, yeah.
That's so really poor planning.
Yep.
You would think.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of other, like, haunted places. Like, my house here, like, that I live in now is, like, seems like it's been seasoned really nicely by, because, my partner's been living here for 20 years. Like, there's not really any, like, ghostly vibes, even though it's a creepy old house.
He's comfortable with the ghosts. They're comfortable with him.
I don't think there are any in this place. But, like, my old house in Gibson's felt, just because it was in the middle of the woods, I think, so it felt, like, more
spooky. Is that not the one your
haunted.
Mom lives in now?
No.
Okay, because that one did not feel Spooky
no,
Day.
That one's new. So
I felt like maybe there was bears around, but that was about it.
I had many houses. I had the one that was on the same property as my grandma. Which that right. was that one felt really spooky.
Right.
And it was like in the middle
Did
of the woods.
Did you have like a carpeted
then,
bathroom or
that
something?
That was in the, so we moved to like a house
which is
that
very
was,
scary.
It was That's two trailers stuck together with an addition on it, and it had a carpeted bathroom, and like... It was such an old piece of shit house. I hated it so much. And, like, my mom's bedroom actually, like, collapsed.
Oh, no.
And she just left it and just left it for, like, 2 years with, like, a hole in the floor until finally they were just like, okay, we need to tear this down and build a new house. So they got the fire department to come set it on fire and practice putting it out. So I got to watch the
wow.
fucking thing burn down. It was so cathartic.
Oh, my God. Ugh. That's spiritual.
I didn't know they did that. Yeah. That's a thing?
The volunteer like, fire department needed training.
So if you want to just ruin the house, like, can we maybe set it on fire, please?
I really wanted to take a sledgehammer to the bathroom, but...
Oh, that would have been very cathartic.
But, ew, yeah, carpeted bathroom was so disgusting. I was just like, what happens when men, like, dribble pee on the carpet? Like,
oh,
that's, just
that's bound to happen.
Yeah, it happened all the time. It was so gross around the toilet.
It just sort of reeked of urine.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yuck.
You could put a different, like, a little bath mat on top of the carpet.
Ew.
Carpet on carpet.
This is a great look, like, so good, just, like, yeah. soaking up all the moisture oh. for years
and
until
like,
it just, like,
on the west coast.
Yeah, and it was, like, a steamy bathroom, too, like, you'd take a shower, right, and
yeah.
then you'd step out onto a bath mat, but it would still,
oh no,
I just don't know what was You're growing under there.
This is scarier than any ghost, honestly.
Yeah. The mold.
The mold, it came from the mold. I can't stop doing that voice, I'm so sorry.
I was friends with a family of ghosts when I was a little girl.
Do fucking Lord. Tell, please.
Now, I don't know if this was, like, I don't know what it was, but when I was little, like, I can't remember when it happened, when I met them, but they were my imaginary friends, quote unquote, and it was a little girl ghost named Pink Rose, and they were the Rose family, she had a whole family, and they were, like, you know, Brown Rose, Purple Rose, Blue Rose, they all had, Rose was their last
Why do I gotta be Brown Rose? Sounds like Shit Rose. Quentin Tarantino's little baby ghost story.
And this is before I even, you know, this is yeah. before Reservoir Dogs came out.
Go figure.
I know. And I don't think our house was very old. I think it was probably built in like the 60s or 70s. So I don't imagine.
I mean, no one died in it.
I don't think so. But they all lived in the basement. And I was scared of the basement. But then my friends lived down there. So I don't know if it was like a coping mechanism. But every once in a while, I wonder, were they really ghosts? Because children have that, like, you know, that thinner veil to the other world.
Mm-hmm. I really hope that when I have kids, one of them is, like, a total spooky kid that can see ghosts.
My, that was just your breath, I think.
I almost blew the candle out.
It was maybe a ghost. Well, one of my favorite things that I was catching sort of adjacent to that, I think last week I was talking about the Jezebel thread. I mean, it'll come out next week, so you'll hear me talking about this after I've talked about already talking about it. It's just, woo, we're blowing your minds today. Some of the stories were very scary. Some of them were potentially like an actual murderer was there and it wasn't a ghost. But my favorite form of ghost story is when little kids do some creepy past life shit that is related to the family.
Yes.
When my favorite is like, Mommy, do you remember when you were the baby and I was the mummy?
Oh.
Did you guys just
like, I did get
goosebumps.
I
like,
got goosebumps.
Or like saying something about like, oh, I don't like to go down to the river because that's where I died before. And they're like, oh, you know, grandma's brother died when he was 4 or whatever. Like wandering down to that very river or whatever. Ooh, I'm so spooked.
I love it. So I have this tangential aunt. I don't really know how she's related
to the family.
To me. Yeah. She's the daughter of my aunt's ex-husband or whatever.
Sure.
And she is a psychic.
Oh.
And that's just, cool. That's her thing. She read my tarot cards one time and she wasn't even really looking at them. She would look down to her right and be like, oh, spirit says blah, blah, blah. And she was like telling me all this stuff that totally came true. We may have even talked about this on the last time you were here, Lauren. But she told me a story that she knew that she was psychic and could see ghosts and spirits and things like that because when she was little, she realized that her other friends couldn't see half of her other friends.
Wow.
Like, she had so many just other friends that were not alive. Like, they were definitely ghosts.
That your parents
or spirits.
Would say are imaginary friends.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
but
just
like,
making that
maybe...
up. Maybe they do.
And she really is, like, that kind of psychic person that's like, any electricity interferes with whatever. So she lives in the Cook Islands with no electricity and can hear people's thoughts, like, across the island and stuff. And it all
that's
is true.
Crazy.
But, like, I don't know what... anything is, but she's really cool to hang out with.
I guess, like, my inner skeptic and my inner, like, spiritual whack job are both, like, such good friends.
Yeah.
They're just chilling all the time together, and I'm just like, maybe she's just incredibly receptive to people's, like, energies.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really, like, I just thought that was really, like, her as a child, like, in Britain, like, she's from England, so she, like, I just pictured her in, like, a little, like, sailor suit, you know, like,
her sitting around a tea table with, like, all of her ghost friends in their cool outfits.
Yeah, she's like, no room for you, sorry.
It's like Sir Walter Raleigh is just kind of, like, chilling with his head under his arm or whatever. Yeah, wait, I don't remember if he got decapitated or not.
Decapitated. But, yeah, I kind of want a spooky kid.
Yeah, you want a kid to say something really spooky, like if you have a daughter that, like, pops up something your grandma used to say or whatever, like, oh, this glitter's all in my fucking scalp or whatever. just something slightly hateful, but meant to be helpful.
No, I'd rather not.
That was just, like, the only relative of yours I could think of that died.
Yeah, why does it have to be out of your family? I think it would just be cool if they knew, like, their past life stuff in general.
Like, it's just easier to sort of, like, stack up against, like, I think it's real because, like, she said all these things that we never told her, but that actually happened in the family. That's why I like that version of the story a little bit more. Because you can't really... Oh, I did read about this one kid in, like, Detroit who... like, had a past life memory of someone who died, like, in a well-documented fire. But this child was far too young to have read anything about it. Like, he was, like, 5 or 6, like, barely could read at all. And was like, well, when I was a woman who lived in... It was, like, a little boy. It was, like, when I was, a mummy who lived in this apartment building, it got very hot, and then I died. But I remember, you know, I had my 3 children and all these kinds of things. And
all
was,
these,
like,
details.
These super, super detailed, like, was able to describe the apartment... and, like, the day that it burned down and all this kinds of stuff. I was like, wow. Ooh, I'm so spooked.
I know, I got more chills too.
I'm just, like, so goosebumped everywhere.
This is exactly what I wanted for my Halloween. Because I don't want to be, I don't like being startled, but I like just being like, ooh.
I like being creeped out.
Yeah.
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 I like a little bit of a thriller, but I don't like gore, so.
I like slashers. I like a little gore. Oh, I enjoy.
I don't mind blood, but I don't like guts. I don't have a problem with blood, but when you start seeing internal organs coming out, I'm like, I'm good.
You won't enjoy Green Inferno, which was a movie I watched, it was an homage to Cannibal Holocaust.
Sounds like a phenomenal film.
What a treasured romp that.
Yeah, but to their credit, they took out most of the rapey parts.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Yeah, but there was definitely some guts and being pulled out.
The most amount of guts I've been able to handle is the beginning of the original Scream.
I love that movie. Movie's great. I used to have that movie, like, memorized. I would sit in my bedroom and recite it to myself.
More like Drew Scarymore, am I right, guys? Because she dies at the beginning.
That'd be a great costume with the beige cable knit sweater.
Yeah, and then just, like, guts coming down.
Guts coming out.
And a phone, like,
the blonde Bob.
Yeah.
The big phone.
The big cordless phone.
Call Zach Morris.
Borrow from Zach. Did you get pizza delivered to your classroom yet? Fuck. So yeah, I like a spooky.
I like a good scare. It's interesting. My mom never liked, like, scary movies, and I think that was my one, like, I was a pretty good kid, and that was, like, my rebellious thing, I liked scary things. I liked Fear Street, Christopher Pike.
The best. Did we talk about this? We talked about this last time, didn't we?
I think so.
Last time I was here.
Last time you were here, yeah.
Potentially. I'm spooky.
I love Christopher Pike. Last Vampire. That shit. Yeah, the Last Vampire.
Yeah. I reread those as an adult.
Were they any good?
They were great.
I still have the book. I should probably... It's like 3 books in 1.
Yeah.
It's like the anthology.
Mm. That'd be a good Halloween weekend, since you're a first reader.
Halloween weekend.
So I've always enjoyed being scared. I think it's those primal emotions that you don't get to experience on, like, a regular basis.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, I just have low-level anxiety. Yes. But when it's, like, something that it's like, oh, I'm actually scared, it, like, is cathartic, because then you can do the fight or flight and like, then it see passes. It through to its logical conclusion instead of it just being always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, actual, like, film theory and literature theory that has to do with, like, how women respond to horror. Or just how, like, the bodily genres, that's what I call them, genres. Bodily genres of fiction. So, like, romance, pornography.
Oh, sensual sort of.
Anything that, like, really, like, gets you on the physical manifestations of emotion, like a visceral level. So, like, horror, where it's terrifying, or pornography, or, like, even, like, extreme romance, where it's very, like, that's the sound that you make, obviously. and I'm trying to think of other things, but, like, those were sort of the major ones. It was, like, sexuality and terror. Like,
well,
those
and horror
things.
Movies often combine the two.
Which is a big part of the paper that I read.
That's a sexy cocktail.
It is. That's why everybody, like, has sex in horror movies and then gets killed.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whoop, shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But it was probably fun.
But we all wanted to see it. We all wanted it to happen.
Thanks for showing it.
Yeah.
Somebody reminded me of the image set from Urban Legends was going around on Tumblr yesterday, because it was like, it's like a goth girl sitting at a super old computer, like logging onto the school network, like, aww, goth for goth, like, hey, any hot goth boys want to get together?
Was that Daniel Harris from Halloween 4 and 5? It has a small part in Urban Legend.
I don't know if that was her.
It was the roommate that gets...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad you didn't turn on
the lights? You're scaring me!
But she, like, she's movie. Like, she's like looking for hot goth D to troll or whatever. She's like, hey, any goth boys want on campus want to hook up? I think we're on a similar dark path. So that's what she's typing into goth for goth, and she's so goth. And then she, like, but then, you know, her roommate comes back and she's being killed in the room.
Yeah.
But it's, she's like, oh, you're just fucking again in our shared dorm room. It's so rude because the lights are off, and she's just like, because she's being strangled. And then she's like, fine, fuck, I'm going to bed. Ugh. So she goes to bed, she wakes up in the morning, and it's in blood on the wall. It says, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the lights?
That's really creepy.
It was really
but it's a very famous urban legend, right? Yeah. So, and I remember I snuck into that movie when I was 13 with my friend Bex.
That was a great film.
So I remembered, like, I looked up the plot points on Wikipedia. I was like, oh, I remember this completely. Like, Rebecca Gayheart is in that.
Joshua Jackson
gets killed so fast in that movie.
Yeah.
They
still slip in a Dawson's Creek joke, though.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. What? He turns on the radio and this Dawson's Creek soundtrack. And then he turns it off. He's like, I hate that song.
Yeah. That's a great really film. Good. Robert Englund is in that movie. Yes. Like the principal, not the principal, like the dean or something,
yeah,
like that. Or
the
like
college,
the teacher.
It's college.
They're like, oh, he's the one doing the killings. And it's like, that would be too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out it's not him. I won't spoil it.
Yee, spoilies.
But it's a pretty...
I won't spoil a movie from 1998.
It was like, it was so, like, Scream really brought back, like, teen horror,
They did.
Yeah.
I loved that
era. It's like all homage films, so it was like that and the Final Destination movies.
They were pretty clever.
Which, yeah, it's like, how many different ways can you be decapitated by a piece of glass that's flying? Like, four, approximately.
Yeah.
According to the films.
According to the series.
According to the series. Oh, you could just have your head smushed. By something too. It's just like a lot of heads coming off, you know.
I
it's just a good effect.
I still don't like driving behind like trucks with
I won't do it.
Yeah. If there's a truck with like kind of anything that looks like
big logs.
Come off logs in BC, you get that a lot.
But they come off the side if they're gonna come down.
Oh,
so I just like try to get around them as fast as possible. Yeah. There's no safe place to be except in front of them.
They also do a really good scene like that in The Descent. Which is like a fabulous feminist
spelunking.
Yes,
all the
where
women
all,
who like go down into the cave.
Spelunking.
Is it worth watching?
You haven't seen it?
Well, I don't watch a lot of horror because I'm a pussy.
Okay, it's a little scary. It is scary, but if you're up for it this Halloween, it's
like...
one of the best. It's
watch it.
So good.
We should let's watch it
together. Watch it together for support.
Let's watch this movie together.
What accent was that?
I'm sorry. It was from Nacho Libre. It was like, if we break our vows, we break our vows together. It's Jack Black being racist. It's fine. It wasn't me. It was Jack Black.
He's allowed to do anything.
He's singing to Sister Encarnacion about breaking their vows and running away together so that they can have a nice little romantic relationship. She's a nun.
I think nuns
learn,
should always
learn
break
about
their
vows.
Some country style.
I think nuns should just be like lesbians who like books.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them are probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, without the shame part, though, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I read there's a great graphic novel. Well, maybe great's not the best word. But it's about nuns, and then the devil comes.
And then the devil comes,
and the devil,
you know what I mean?
The devil comes and visits them all. Oh, yes.
No one saw what I just did, except for you two. It was an oral sex motion.
Yeah. There's something very spooky about nuns and just the
I
isolation.
I was
going to
say about the devil, I was going to be like, yep.
Oh, yeah.
There is.
There's something very sexy about the devil.
Yeah. There's that TV show Lucifer, which is, like, pretty cheesy, but it's, like,
is it based on the comic book?
Yeah.
It must be.
It is, yeah.
My comedy teacher, Adam Pateman, was in that show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good.
I need to watch it some more, but it's, I can only watch a few in a row, because, like, it's very, like...
Does he, like, own a bar to
yeah.
start? Okay, that
yeah.
it is based
it's
on
It's, like,
that
very much a... It's, like, a police procedural, though, so, it, like, it follows, like, the same pattern every single time.
There's,
it's
like,
so
75.
They filmed that in my neighborhood, too.
Yes.
fucking
but
new
guy,
West End.
But the guy
everything.
Is so fucking good looking, and he just is straight up, just like, tells out, it's like, I'm the devil, and I can make you do whatever I want, and then they just do, and nobody really believes him. He's just like, no, I'm straight up, my name is fucking Lucifer Morningstar, it's just my name, I'm the devil.
I am
and everyone's
the
like,
devil.
Haha, you're so funny and charming and eccentric. He's
you're
like,
so charming.
Whatever, fine.
And then, who among us would not have sex with the devil if he was super hot?
Yeah, like, well. That's there's, like, a great scene where he's, like, he's got his therapist ongoing, and, like, she just wants to, like, fuck him constantly. It's great.
That is a violation of doctor-patient privilege.
Because he wants
does
to...
Does he want something out of it, or does he want to
yeah, he wants
it?
To...
Or he's seen a lot of The Sopranos.
He's having very confusing feelings about... He feels like his evil is disappearing, and he's becoming more human, so he's trying to process those feelings.
So even the fact that he wants to go to a therapist must be upsetting
exactly.
to him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I have to watch this show.
It's good.
I like a cheesy CW. There's too much to get invested for Supernatural, and I just didn't like it when I tried to start watching.
Oh, that's a lot of seasons.
It's 11 seasons.
Yeah.
That's too many seasons. Even if they've employed every single actor or actress in Vancouver. I'm pretty sure Ryan Beale's been on that at some point, hasn't he? Mm, you know, you're like, I'm not the IMDb, Katie.
I don't know. I've only had callbacks for that show, Katie.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even know you acted.
Of course she does.
I'm on hiatus.
I didn't know.
I'm on life hiatus. I'm just enjoying life.
I'm just enjoying life right now.
Acting's not always very enjoyable.
No, I can't imagine it would be. I think about it sometimes, and then I'm like, do I really want to be cast as, like, a fat lesbian in absolutely everything?
Well, you don't have any say. That's the thing, yeah. The actor is the bottom of... You get treated like a baby, but you have very little say in the process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, hey, do you want to be a chubby friend, or a chubby this, or a chubby something or other? I'm like, oh, I guess. Like, yeah, how much does it pay? Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Or
yeah.
a victim.
Or yeah, victim.
You can be victim three.
Can you be still for a really long time? Yeah. No. It'd be like a bad corpse. Could you imagine if that was, like, your whole acting, like, resume is just playing a dead body on, like, different shows? Promise there is somebody who does
There's probably that. Someone who's done that. I bet it's, like, you probably get stand-in pay, I would
They're
imagine.
Like, I can hold my breath for 4 minutes.
I'm very shallow breather.
Yeah. I don't move at all. You won't see it. It's amazing.
I just keep thinking... My brain, because we were talking so much about sex and horror, and now you're just like, and now I can lie very still. I'm thinking about, like...
Lie back and think of England?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm getting a little aroused thinking about spooky stuff.
Speaking about around. Fucking the devil. Mm. Oh, Jesus, I thought there was somebody right beside me for a second.
Really?
But it was just your voice, like, hitting my ear weird.
I
Probably.
Wasn't talking. I really wasn't.
Uh-oh. Are we summoning the devil
Maybe
with our collective horniness?
With our candles and crystals?
He's like, you rang.
You
ring. Ding-dong bell?
Yeah, I mean, press my doorbell any day.
Imagine if he showed up as Flanders, like when Flanders was the devil.
Stupid, sexy Flanders.
And then he has, yeah, and then his abs. And
he's like a satyr. Stupid, sexy Flanders. He ate all the donut.
Yeah, he did.
Forbidden donut. Have all the donuts in the world! Hum. Just really love the... I might end up doing that tonight, is just rewatching all the Treehouse of Horrors.
Oh, fun!
Because I have, like, all the good ones. Seasons 4 through 10.
The Roseanne episodes are also on YouTube. I always want to watch the old TV specials. They don't make them like they
I
used to.
I love the
to.
One where they're Marie Antoinette's, like, decapitated body. Like, where one of them, where she's the head and he's the body or something. Like, it's so good. Or when he's all Three Stooges.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I keep thinking, too, of Happy Endings. Yeah. Her costume, Penny with Max, like, as her little baby in the Baby Bjorn.
Or, yeah, that episode's pretty fucked up with, I love that show. I'm so sad it only lasted 3 seasons. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I read a book called Happy... No, yeah, I read a book called Happy Endings, and they made a movie of it. And then when the show came out, I was like, I'm confused.
It's not
I don't
the
know
same. It's
not
really worth watching. If it's still on Netflix, you should definitely watch it, because
it's
fucking
on the
fun.
American Netflix.
I started
it's
watching Black Mirror, which is sort of creepy.
That show is made by Charlie Brooker, who also does Charlie Brooker's Yearly Wipe, which is where Philomena Kunk and Barry Shitpeas come from. Have I introduced you to them?
What? No.
They are
just making weird sounds with your face right now.
It's this yearly English show, or British or UK show, or whatever you want to call it, where there are two fake pundits named Philomena Kunk and Barry Shitpeas, and they're supposed to be, like, just sort of slice-of-life English people who are, like, talking about things. And Philomena Kunk is like, what is feminism? And all these things. She's, like, she's just so, like absolutely obtusely stupid, and she'll talk to real... It's almost like a Daily Show segment, but, right. like, she'll talk to, like, real...
Or,
so
like, Ally G. How
it's, like, it's very similar. Yeah. And she's like, so, you're a clock scientist. She's like, I do study the effects of time and all these things. Like, so, how do you get the time into the clock? That kind of stuff. So it's so, but he does these two things separately. Like he does Black Mirror, which is very creepy, and it's like technology, herder, it's bad.
Technology,
it's gonna kill you. And then he does these like super funny satirical nice. Comedy things that are extremely silly. Like the character's name is Barry Shitpeas, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
yeah.
And peas in England are
they love them
pretty shitty.
They're mushy.
Mm. Yeah,
I like them.
So good.
You like them?
I like mushy peas and chips a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. With a pie. Oh yeah. Yeah. You too.
I do.
Yeah. Brown sauce. Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Into it.
That's good stuff.
You two could go on a England tour, really.
It'd be fun.
Just thought about that? Take
to like a video tour?
Hags on the ocean, well, and then you go over to England.
We're thinking about Edinburgh Fringe maybe someday in the
maybe
future.
Someday.
Seems like a hell of a lot of work, though.
Yeah. Fringe is always on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be like, yeah. We would probably fucking hate each other by the end of it, I think.
It's possible. We can document the decline that of our happens. Friendship on fucking tape.
Oh, great idea.
No, I don't want to.
I don't
want to
do that either.
I want to just be your friend forever.
Yay! That's what I want also.
Yay.
Oh, it's agreed upon.
Should we do some creepy things? Should we do some tarot?
Yeah, tarot? You've been shuffling those tarot cards for the last half an hour.
Well, yeah, just, you know, I like to fidget.
Charge them up?
Just putting my crazy sexual energy into them.
Well, it's kind of, we're talking at the beginning of this about, like, okay, clean living, new path of sort of taking care of ourselves. Like, it feels like a bit of a turning point crossroads right now, so I'd be interested to see what the cards have to say.
Change of seasons always.
Yes.
I always like getting my cards right around Halloween. It feels more like a reset than New Year's does to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The dying off of the leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
and
slough,
our spirits.
Slough away all the old shit. Mm.
Just crawl into your house and never come back.
Instruct you to take out three.
Okay.
Christmas
just, like, feel for them, whatever it feels good. You can look at them, it doesn't really matter, but just remember what order you pulled them in. And don't burn me
and then
the
are
candle.
You going to count, guess which one is missing from the deck?
Is this your card?
It's like Queen of Discs. Mm. Dicks.
Ooh, that one made me tingle a little bit when I touched it.
That's the one then. Okay, so that's good. So, bloop. So I'm just taking these because, oh, no, they're supposed to go right side up here.
Near
okay,
reach.
It doesn't matter what, like, way you pulled them in this particular way?
I mean, in theory it does, but I also, like, wouldn't normally do this across a table where there's fire happening.
Oh, yeah, yes. Fair enough.
I would usually, yeah, so.
I can move the candles.
I'm not an expert. I'm not a tarot reader. It's something that I've started to do, like, just as, like, as something to sort of, like, get me through stuck times, where it's kind of like, well, if an inanimate object tells me that I should do something or, like, open myself up to something, then I'm like, well, I'll try that, because it's not going to be any better or worse than what I'm already doing.
Yeah, and
as long as my mom doesn't tell me to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like tarot in terms of, like, I just want to see.
She's,
ooh,
she's
the
like,
one
what
at
do
the
I
end.
Got? So you've pulled the Eight of Discs, the King of Staves, or Staffs, mm-hmm. and the Two of Swords.
That's the one that made
me
tingle.
She looks tormented.
She looks beautiful, but like it's very moonlit-y.
So these are a very basic. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say around tarot, like they're pictorially significant, right? So it's like however you sort of interpret and take things, it can at least help you be like, this is what I reacted
or
to.
Or reflect upon.
Yeah,
your
like
experience.
this is what it made me think about, and this is it. Just kind of jogs your thinking out of it. It's like typical patterns.
It's
basically.
Like mythology.
Yeah.
It's all symbolism and.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why I like them.
So I am kind of full of shit. Like, I don't actually know what I'm doing. So I'm kind of just reading
you
the descriptions.
That's fine.
That's good.
These are beautiful Alphonse Mucha tarot cards, too. And they're gorgeous.
I'm a big fan. They are lovely. I got them
Maybe
from...
Maybe you can post a picture.
I can. I have a picture of a spread that I did when I first got it in Portland, and there's crystals and shit in it. It looks really cool.
I just like, so my first two cards are the same colors, and they look very autumnal.
One's a king.
And then the last one, the one that gave me tingles it's when I picked wintry. It up, is very wintry. It's dark blue. It looks cold and moonlit.
She's blindfolded.
Mm.
So.
And crossed.
Interesting.
So we're looking towards this the past, present, future. It's only meant to like provide some context and to sort of like reflect upon where you've been and where you may go. So for the first card, you have the Eight of Discs, and it is, the acquisition of skills is not accomplished overnight. Even the most gifted artisan must learn his or her craft.
That's you.
Through trial and error, he learns what tools work best for each task and how to express his vision through the chosen medium.
Or her.
Or her. Actually, it does go back and forth between genders in this in this book, which is kind of cool. So it is with any work. Perseverance and commitment to excellence lead to success. You may experience some isolation as you concentrate on honing your craft, but it will be worth the sacrifice in time. So, your key ideas are craftsmanship, dedication to pursuing excellence, right livelihood, and career advance over time.
Well,
so,
that would be Capricorn. What I'm working on right now. Yeah, Capricorn.
And it also probably speaks to your experience of going back to grad school and the uncertainty you had feeling that, and how it was often a struggle for you to just, like, keep sticking to it as much as you're like, is there even any point? But you did, you saw it through.
Well, and you're a very gifted artist, but you're also a really hard worker, like, and you have that Capricorn energy, and that's something I really admire about you.
The amount of time, nice things about
so the amount of time you spent, the amount of time that you have spent, like, learning fucking instruments.
Yeah.
Like, consider how much, how many hours that you have spent learning the cello, the flute, the piccolo, the piano, voice, all of the things that you can do. You've busted your ass to learn them, to get to the point where now it's like, it just looks like I can do this, and it's no work at all. And so sometimes I forget that it actually takes work to learn music. I'm just like, Chris can figure it out. She's so smart.
When someone makes it look effortless, that you forget that there's a lot of effort involved.
I'm sure you've done the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours of musical practice at this
point. I may have. Yeah, I don't know.
Did you start as a child? How old were you when you started music?
Four.
Yeah, I think you have.
With keyboarding.
Did you have, like, the sound effects?
No, but
those kind of keyboards?
We had, like, it was a class where everyone had, like, a little matchy keyboard, and we just had to learn scales and stuff.
So this is the present.
This is the center of the spread, the present.
Who's the king of staves?
Ooh.
See, that just makes me
He's got a big stick.
There's something.
He has a huge fucking stick.
What's going on with me today? It's the coffee, I swear.
It's the coffee got y'all clumped.
The king of staves is decisive and confident, with the impressive charisma of a true leader. He does not hesitate to take action against the injustice and oppression.
That's
is this,
you.
Is this my boss?
He expects others to stand up for their rights, though he will always lend his courage and strength to those in need. But, like, the expectation that people will at least attempt to take care of themselves, and you'll help them. You'll help them either way, but you're like, come on, bud. Pick up your socks a little bit here. Ceremony and ritual are important to him, and the way things are properly done to show respect for tradition. If this card does not represent a person, it shows a time of decision-making and taking charge of a situation that may have been dragging on too long. Did you just get called the fuck out by a deck of cards?
Well, no, because I feel like this is my boss, honestly, or and like that
your or the influence she has on her on your life.
Perhaps. Yeah, and that it's like this real, it kind of shifted me out of just being in a not-so-great series of jobs and to just be like, now I have this like direction, and she's really modeling like amazing leadership, and I'm learning so much around like justice and all this, but then also the ceremonial protocol and all that we talk a lot about.
And your key ideas are inspired leadership, championing the weak, encouragement, and impassioned support. So that does sound very much like your boss.
Yeah, and
like,
or you.
And what she's saying. It sounds like you, too.
So I'm learning a lot. Like, I always kind of thought that it's like, oh, I have all these qualities, but now I'm learning even more from her that's, like, really showing me how to use those effectively as opposed to just modeling that behavior.
Absolutely.
And it's very cool. And I was telling you in the car on the way over here, Lauren, that it's just like, I love my job so much.
I know,
and
I feel
really supported, and that like my boss really has my back.
That's wonderful.
In everything, and it's really awesome that I can support her, and then she supports me back, and it's very reciprocal. And I'm just like, I feel I'm being mentored right now. It feels so good.
You're getting the shit mentored out of you
right now. Fuck yeah, it's so awesome. I'm very lucky.
Do you want to know the future?
Yeah. What's this? What's the sad
Two of Swords? Isolated card. So fucking cool. A blindfolded lady has retreated to a secluded spot to hold vigil under the waxing moon. The sword she holds warn off any who would approach and break her concentration. She is testing her resolve and her ability to make difficult decisions on her own. Her gown seems
like
to flow over the earth like water or moonlight. I don't know anybody who's ever sat in a diaphanous gown in the middle of the fucking ocean.
I did.
It was you.
I did.
While her body is still and her senses are cut off from distractions, her thoughts flow freely, seeking the answers she needs.
Sounds like uncertain
Key ideas. Yeah. Meditation, visualization, detachment from distraction, and focusing the mind.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's less, like, sort of scary, that one, but...
Yeah, it looks much more frightening than it is. Do you want to take a look at
that? That's more of an internal thing, yeah. It's more, like, internal resolve. And
I think it has much more to do with, like, just... looking inside for all of the wisdom that you need in the world, and like, I think working with an excellent mentor is probably going to help you refine your thoughts. Mm-hmm. At least that's what that tells me.
I look to this as almost like, again, deciding to have kids or not. Where yeah. It's like, it's on my mind, but I need to, like, do a whole bunch of stuff beforehand, yeah. So I think, and, like...
Yeah, that's a very reasonable interpretation of that.
Preparing myself for all of that, like, big decision, and just being like, this is actually just kind of... Even though my partner's involved, this is all kind of on me, and I'm trying to figure out some stuff.
So. Yeah, I think that's exactly what I felt when I was looking at that, but I didn't want to, like, presume to say anything additionally to that, because I also know you very well, so I don't want to project on predictions and
that's
that kind
the
of
tricky
stuff,
thing but. With tarot cards,
And then
too.
I think about, like, where it's, like, water and moonlight and stuff, that's the very, like, feminine, that's flowy, water,
feminine
body,
fertility.
Like...
Totally.
Yeah. Fecundity.
Although, swords is usually sort of a masculine energy, if you want to break things down to such small categories. Mm-hmm. But the card itself and the artwork on the card
feminine.
Is very feminine.
Yeah, and like, don't fuck with me now, I'm doing an important thing.
Yes.
It's kind of like...
There's like a mama bear element to that. Yeah.
I like it. This one really, it still, the card itself is giving me like
it
shivers
gave you
some
to serious
look at.
Vibes.
It gave you the shivers.
Nice. Shivies. The, like, the perseverance one is just, like, a man, like, hunched over, like, chiseling out all the pentacles.
But these are all the ones he's already made.
I know, and pentacles is earth, like, so it's very much, like, rooted and grounded, hard work kind of stuff. To then, yeah. Interesting, there's, like, a lion. This is the king of staves. There's a volcano in the background, so there's, like, all this, like, explosive and... shit happening out in the world, and he's like standing very strong against it. Mm-hmm. With like, there's like a gecko moon and a lion person. Very cool. These are very pretty.
They're the most beautiful tarot cards I've ever seen, so I couldn't not buy them.
I like that. That's a good spread. It just very much is just like, oh, all the things that I'm thinking about right now in my life in general. So
I like the general nature of tarot cards, is because they can you can kind of add any interpretation you want. You can make it more appealing to you if that's what you want, or, you know, I'm not a professional, right? So I'm sure somebody else would have told you something different, but I think those are all.
It's my friend Sharon that reads tarot gave me a really good reading one time that was just like, she didn't let me, and she was like, don't even tell me what you're thinking about, let me just tell you about it. And I was just like, whoa.
I didn't let Chris
blew my mind.
But I feel like you've got, yeah, okay. And do it again. Do it three times.
So are we doing Lauren's now?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like it doesn't matter too much how you started off. I think it's just kind of like whatever calls to you. But let me spread those out for you. And you can tell me. You can pick out three.
My mom always says pick with your left hand because it's more in tune to the spiritual side.
That's so weird. I just do that anyway. I just like, because it gets tingly when I put my hands over some of them sometimes.
One. I don't know. I mean, let's go that. That one fell out.
That one actually jumped out
at
you.
That one wants to come too.
Okay.
Ooh, cookie, Chris.
Leave it all. Okay, so.
Can you pass the herbal tea, please?
So we have the, the lovers, I believe, is your first
card. The lovers.
There's a titty on that
There's
card.
There's a titty on that one.
There's a titty on this card. And then we've got the Knave of Cups, I believe.
Ooh.
Look at this saucy fellow with his page boy haircut
so far,
and a fish coming
off.
Out of his cup. And then we have, the Three of Cups. And that's some maidens having what looks like a nice little bacchanal.
This is a pretty saucy spread there.
This is quite a lot of
shirts off.
Erotic energy coming from these, I must say.
Maybe it's because I was sitting over here.
Maybe it's because you're just horning the whole room up.
I'm warm and I've got like my boobs plopped on the table, so I'm not helping the situation.
Nope, not at all. Just making it worse. That's great. So the nice thing about like having these sort of major arcana cards is they have a much larger explanation attached to them. Mm-hmm. So we've got number six, the lovers, I believe, is that one. Yep. So that's right. Okay. Two primal lovers stand together in the garden of bliss. A watchful angel protects their union but cannot prevent them from making choices, both wise and foolish, that contribute to their soul's growth, both as individuals and as a pair. The Tree of Wisdom offers illumination and dispels illusion. I have to say it weirdly.
Illusion.
And choosing to eat its fruit opens the garden gates and lets in the real world. This is the choice that marks the difference between mere infatuation and true love. Hmm. The lovers seek to know each other and to be known.
In a country way?
Country matters. They long to open their heart's secrets to each other and to find the common beauty within. It is this longing for beauty that moves them into each other's arms. We are at our most beautiful when seen through the eyes of love.
Wow.
Key ideas, soulmates, choosing commitment, the temptation of love, and the immortal beloved. You got married pretty recently.
I have an immortal beloved.
Yeah, he's really cute.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
We have a murder-suicide pact.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. He's in charge. I'm weak.
He's got to do the murdering.
He's got to do the murdering.
And the suicide.
And the suicide.
You fucking lazy bitch.
I know. We have an old-fashioned marriage. He's in charge.
He's in charge of the murder-suicide pact. Oh, my God. My wife won't enter into a suicide pact with me.
Well, maybe with time.
She wants to live forever.
Mm. I do, too, kind of, but...
I don't.
I'm starting to accept that might not be a reality.
Can I see?
Sure. And number two, party boy with the cup.
Party boy.
So this is I'm being very literal with this and assuming that this is like your partnership, your
Probably.
Marriage, like it's a pretty literal card, honestly.
Yeah, that's
and very heteronormative, may I say.
Very heteronormative.
She got that titty out. Actually, he got that titty out too, though, yeah. So that's pretty cool. And I like the fucking stone angel behind them or whatever going like, "What's up, motherfuckers? I'm watching you bone." He seemed to say.
I almost took that as Mother Nature too. Just like
it's a very gender indeterminate creature.
It's an omnipresent
angel. There's totally a snick. There's definitely a snake and some fire and some water.
Garden of Eden shit happening.
Yeah, they were talking about Garden of Eden.
That must be the angel that's just like, guys, now you know you're naked. God damn it.
Yeah.
You damn it. I pointed up.
I was also upset in Zootopia that they had a nudist colony, but no genitals.
You really wanted to see some animated animal genitals.
I definitely want to see some animated
genitals. Let me see that elephant dick.
I don't want to presume, but I think she was doing yoga. She was a female elephant, so that would have been some
serious elephant puss.
Deep pussy.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about now with the water buffalo or whatever who's got like the dreadlocks and it's like...
And it's like Tommy Chong, I think.
It is Tommy Chong.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so a stoner buffalo or something like that. Okay, we've got Mr. Cups party time here. Where are we at? Cups, staves. This is the next one, swords.
Cups at the beginning. Sort of emotional, I think.
Yeah, water.
So you got double cups here. You got two, or I thought that was two, this one. Or
it's cup runneth over. And there's like a little fishy coming out of there.
A fish
little
popping
little
out of the cup.
Mm-hmm. Hey, now. Maybe I'm just carrying a cup of me around.
Yeah.
So they'll actually know your husband's a Pisces.
Yes, that's true.
Is that not true?
And I have been wanting to go swimming lately. Mm-hmm. It's winter, so I can't go to the beach.
Come to the pool with me.
I know. I was thinking that when you were saying that earlier.
Ah, there we go. Cups. We got so the knave of... He's such a sassy man. I like this guy. He's really party. He's got, like, a sarong on.
He's got a fist raised, like, in victory, or could be flexing.
He's got some sweet gladiator boots. Or sandals, I can't tell.
Mm-hmm. And he's standing on a rock flowery...
Sarong. With lotus flowers on it.
Mm. Slowly we unfurl, like,
oh, wait,
lotus
is it,
flowers.
Is it a knave or a knight?
That's
it's a knight.
Radiohead.
I wrote it.
Okay, yeah, it is. It's the knight. It's not the knave.
Oh, the knight.
I don't know the distinction necessarily.
Yeah, there's like a page.
But that's definitely a knight because it's got a helmet on it. Mm. That's how you know. The Knight of Cups is the bringer of bliss.
Ooh.
He holds aloft the grail, the symbol of joy, and invites his beloved to drink. His bejeweled steed has no need for reins. Wait, is this right?
No.
I mean, he is holding aloft a grail right there.
Yeah, he is.
But there's no steed. Don't know what's going on there.
What else does
what
it say?
What is the page or the knave?
Well, I could read both of them.
Well, what does it say next?
Okay. His bejeweled steed has no need for reins for both rider. Yeah, there's no horse there.
Mm-hmm. What is the other?
He does have balls attached to his sarong.
Mm-hmm. Just balls? Like nards?
Nards.
Like Wolfman's got nards?
Read what it says about the...
What's the page say?
What does the page say? Sorry. I'm gonna see if
the
I can find
the waves
of
emotion.
That could be it. Yeah. There's waves. But, like, holding aloft the grail, that's a serious... Okay, is this the knave, then? Or is
yeah,
that the... There's
that's
the knave. Okay,
that's
so,
the steed. Okay.
So we are the knave, then.
So it's just a youthful energy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Knave of Cups breaks free from emotional constraints. He is willing to risk being hurt and to take a stand for what he loves. The waves of emotions may batter at his foundations, but he will not be dismayed or discouraged.
No!
He is an innocent heart that has not yet been broken. The lessons of loss have yet to be learned. Everything is felt as if it is for the first time, all the bittersweet pleasures of life and love. If this card does not represent a person, it can mean a time of emotional renewal or spiritual cleansing.
Oh, that sounds nice. Yes.
Raw emotions, learning about relationships, and innocent expectations.
I like those. There's like those. There's something going around on the internet. And it's like, don't cross oceans for people. And then it's crossed out and it says, no, do cross oceans for people. You know, make mistakes and fall in love and
take
get
chances,
your heart
make
broken.
Mistakes and get messy.
Get love. Miss, you would make a great Miss Frizzle for Halloween.
That would be such a good
That's a
costume.
Really good costume for me. Mm-hmm. I wish I had a party to go to
you
tonight.
Like
and a bus and a lizard.
You have a space dress already that you can wear.
I just have to paste some planets to it or something because she really goes super literal with her costumes.
Yeah,
I do love the frizz.
Yeah.
With the frizz? No way. Surfing on a sandwich. Sorry.
I was actually, there was someone, I think you had said something about like research and I was going to go, according to my research.
Phoebe.
Carlos.
Carlos. Your husband's name is Carlos. I hope you say that to him whenever he tells a bad joke.
I didn't remember that there was a Carlos on the show. I'm going to watch it.
Yep. And now every time he cracks a shitty joke, you got to be like, Carlos.
Carlos.
According to my research, you're a nerd.
He's more of like one of those sneaky Pisces that's silent. And then when he cracks a joke, it just destroys you.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
waiting. You've been saving that one.
I love those kinds of jokes. Those are my fave. The best.
So the future.
What
so
we is got this, it's the Three of Cups with these really cool ass ladies just partying.
Oh yeah.
They got their cuppies.
That's what I usually
their cuppy cups out. It's good times.
It's my kind of party.
Some pleasures are planned and anticipated, but others spring into spontaneous delight, borne upon the breeze like a summer butterfly. A happy confluence of fortune is upon you, and the time is ripe for celebration with friends.
Aww, friends.
Let the natural dance that is within you come forth. With no thought for what the wider world may think. Those who willingly dance with you
like
are enough.
Watching. Yep. That's what it basically means.
Lift a cup of joy high and offer a thankful libation to the beautiful, beautiful world. Oh. Key ideas: gaiety, merriment, playful lack of self-consciousness, sharing joys with friends. So that speaks to your near and distant future, I think, is
there. Well, it does. And, you know, I do have mixed feelings sometimes. I'm like, oh, I'm not acting, and everybody is, and everybody's working. Or if they're not acting, like, you can work on film sets. Like, there's so much work happening in Vancouver and Canada, in Toronto as well, at the moment. And I've just been felt pulled to other things. And as, like, a sensitive person, sometimes you might overthink that. But I've always thought I want to be the kind of artist who doesn't miss out on life things. I want to have a full life experience.
Definitely.
And so sometimes that takes, you know, you sometimes just gotta step away and celebrate with your friends.
You do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful reading. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that a lot of that does speak to the sort of how jealousy can manifest very easily in the artistic spheres. Because I see it, I feel it. I don't necessarily feel jealous of other people's successes or anything, but
no.
I feel like a real sense of like I'm not doing enough or some FOMO or something.
What am I
when
doing?
I see people like when Maria Bamford showed up at the open mic that I was too tired to go to. I was like, I missed out and that's my fault. Or like other people have a gig book now and I don't, so I'm not doing as well or I'm not trying as hard as they are. So I beat myself up, but I'm not jealous of other people's success.
See, and I'm success looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this great book when I was younger called In Praise of Slowness, and our society really pushes this idea that you need to be constantly doing, constantly on the move.
In Praise of Stillness, did you say?
Slowness.
Oh, slowness.
Slowness.
I thought you said aloneness for a second. I was
sometimes
like, I think there's
that's
a different word
necessary
for that.
Too. And sometimes if you're an introvert, being in the performing arts is also just challenging, exhausting because you're dealing with people constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it really is dealing with people a lot of the time because there's such complex personalities that get together and it's like sometimes a very weird salad. like there's like a shoe in here. Yeah. Like, so there's some romaine, there's some butter lettuce, there's cucumbers, there's onions, and then there's like a shoe and some old gum and like a nacho cheese Dorito.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you know how to eat the salad, apple. It's going to be a nice time, but you just have to know what you're dealing with, kind of. That's a really weird metaphor. But that's how it feels, for sure. Especially with something that where it's like a collection of individuals, like stand-up really is.
Yeah.
There's less collaboration there, and I'm like, really want to add more in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and good on you for wanting to bring that to the community. Because
they don't always like it, but it's fine.
The community doesn't always know what's right for them.
That's why I'm the goddamn mayor.
I get a little bit of that.
Yeah. But I like that in praise of slowness, where it's just like, we've talked about this before, where it's like, you're still doing what you can, and you're doing a little bit every day, and it might not be going as fast as other people's, but you're still doing it.
It was actually a Canadian author. Somebody want to do me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, cool.
Chris is going to do you.
So do you want to do the cut thing first?
Sure. Do some cut scenes. I'll just cut them and then...
I have the Magic School Bus theme song stuck in my head. It's just been running in the background.
Ride on the Magic School Bus, raft a river of lava.
I feel like we're all a little old.
Spank a plankton,
too.
Take that. Ride on the Magic School Bus.
What?
It's Little Richard, I think, who sings the theme song.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And Lily Tomlin's Miss Frizzle.
Lily Tomlin's Miss Frizzle.
Lily Tomlin's my shit. Wow. I fucking love her on Grace and Frankie.
Yes.
The wig that they gave her is the most beautiful head of hair I've ever seen. I want to grow into that. I want that to be my hair. I want to be like a weird Jewish hippie lady when I'm older, which is going to be really difficult because I'm not Jewish at all. Not even slightly Jewish.
When you get your Gulf Island vibes on...
Then I'll, her big giant crystal necklaces are I lust after them. They're so beautiful.
Okay, Katie is cutting the cards.
Cutting
and
one.
And then I will spread them out, and then you will pick them.
Ooh, that one got in upside down. Oh, I upside downed them.
They're in the upside down now.
Oh, no. Spooky Chris.
Well.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I did. I fucked it up. I normally have them all going one way, but you can also do like an alternate interpretation where they're flipped. But let's just do them straight up to keep it simple. Oh, I should pick. Should I pick them?
Well, I'm gonna spread them out.
Okay.
And then.
Then you'll pick
a little bit. I'm gonna charge them up with my interpretation energy.
You're good.
You have good interpretive energy.
Mm-hmm.
With some spiritual goo, some ectoplasm.
I bet you were a real spooky kid, Chris.
Maybe. I don't know. I was an only child. Maybe I was spooky, but...
I think we've gone into our previous spookiness, because I was a super spooky kid. People were scared of me.
Yeah.
And people tried to scare me.
So there's the spread. There's a few that are, like, a little bit more exposed, and I'm curious, and some that are, like, really tucked away, so you can do whatever you want, which ones you're going to pop out.
Some of them are popping.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah. Something's warm down here.
Yep, I see that one. Great.
Okay. I'm really enjoying this. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
If there's some buried in the stack back here, you can divvy it up.
That one.
Okay.
This side's giving me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in here.
See, sometimes the cream doesn't rise to the top of the deck.
I'm the cream of the crop. Yeah, I'm feeling it in my pinky finger for some reason.
Ooh, neat.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Future all jumped out at all of us where we were just like, ooh, that's the one.
Ooh, ooh. That's the business.
Okay, so for past, we have, looks like the King of Pentacles.
Mm.
For present, we've got the Five of Swords. That one
walking
looks a little bit solitary.
I think that's a good card if I remember.
Ooh, and then future, it looks like the Knight of Swords as well.
Or
that
could be also the Page.
Same
haircut.
Yeah, Page of Swords.
Oh, maybe they're giving them Page Boys to be the Knave or whatever instead of the Knight.
Yeah. So you got double swords, you got double cups at
and
the
you
end.
Got double... That's so weird. Like, our last two cards were the same...
No, I had staves.
You had one of each.
I had one of each, yeah. I had pentacles, staves, and...
Oh, you did, you're right.
Swords.
But you had... Yeah, you had...
Double cups.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting to me. I don't know.
Double cups. I'm holding mugs up to my breasts.
The fact that you called them breasts made it funnier.
I usually call them breasticles when I'm at home alone.
Are you got a nice over-the-shoulder boulder holder on?
So, are we calling pentacles discs in this?
It is called discs in there, but you can call them pentacles if you want, because it's your studio.
Or coins sometimes.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about cards is they're open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is going to take me a bit longer because I need to...
familiarize yourself. We'll have to make small talk.
Yeah. Please talk amongst yourselves.
Try not to have a kombucha burp right now.
I know, I keep wanting to cough. That's why I'm like... gulping.
You're allowed to cough. We can always just edit it out.
I want to be perfect for you.
No, you are perfect for us, Lauren. You come through in the clutch all the time.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Discs. Okay, so... King of Dicks.
That would be a funny... We should make a alternate...
Penis Tarot? Tarot.
Well, like, that could be...
You're going to get all the genitals you didn't get in Zootopia.
Yes! Because, well, like, they are supposed to...
We could have dicks and dildos.
Swords is supposed to be dicks and cups is supposed to be vaginas. Like, right? That's what it is.
Okay.
Receptive and penetrating,
etc. Steve's could just be a fist of forearm.
My God! Holy shit.
And then...
You're going to some crazy parties.
And then the discs could be the butt. I think we're onto something here.
I think, yeah. You got the eight of butts.
You can get your friend that draws all that, like, weird M-Preg shit to, like,
eight butts.
To draw. She can draw those tarot cards for us.
She could.
Yeah, that's a commission.
She absolutely could.
Okay, so the King of Discs. So this is your past stuff.
Okay.
The King of Discs has the tenacity of a bull combined with shrewd practicality. Interesting.
Box.
Whatever he commands to be achieved, he will see it through to completion no matter what obstacles arise.
Always make it to completion.
He sees the long view and builds for the future. For his primary purpose is stability. He knows that when people feel secure in their foundations, they will rise to even greater achievements. When he agrees to help you, success is assured. This card doesn't represent a person. It can mean a substantial gift or loan that brings a long-held dream into reality. So, key ideas, practicality, advice backed up with assistance, respect for material possessions and tradition.
That's a me, Mario. That's very me, I think.
Yeah. Respect for tradition?
We all got a little bit of respect for tradition, and I think it's more respect for expectations more than anything. Like just assuming that there's a certain level of expectation placed on me as a woman and a wife, and, like, I'm not a mother, but, like, if I ever became one, there's so many expectations there, and just the idea that I have to rise to all of them. So, as far as that goes, I am a bit of a traditionalist.
This reminded me of your mom, because your mom's the strong Taurus in your
life.
She's
a super bull, yeah.
Who really is just, like, be practical, plan for your future, do all of this stuff, make sure that you've got all your solid footing in together.
So this is, like, my mom influence on my past.
Because that's your past. Yeah.
The stuff that's, which has worked very well for me, but then there are things that don't work well for me from that, so maybe that's the stuff I need to leave behind.
Okay, so that's...
Because you're leaving something behind in the next card.
Yeah.
You can see he has his back turned.
Oh, to walk away, sometimes you gotta leave something behind.
Did you get my dick cut off?
I'm sad that none of us drew the devil after we were talking about fucking the devil.
Oh, what if we all drew him for the future? And it's like, the devil's totally gonna come here and fuck us, guys.
Oh my god.
Big devil orgy.
Cool.
I'd be into devil orgy.
We're just, like, so chill about it. Just like, yeah, that'd be cool if the devil came here and we just had, like, a fucking devil orgy. That'd be fine. That'd be fun. Like, a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now I'm looking for the five of S words.
S words. S words.
Five of shits. I love it when people call fuck the fuck word instead of calling it the F word. So it's like, she said the fuck word.
That's so sweet.
Five of Swords. So this is, the battle is concluded.
Oh my.
The warriors think over their victory or defeat. The knight who has prevailed gathers his spoils of war. The defeated men must decide their next step, to join with the former enemy, to journey back home, to strike out alone. So it's kind of a crossroads
piece. It is a crossroads.
No war lasts forever, and when it's over, the world will have changed. How you deal with it determines your character. Huge upheavals in your life and how you deal with it going forward, Katie.
There have been so many upheavals in the last year.
Yeah, so key ideas, conquest through forceful action, defeat, gloating or plotting revenge, life after wartime. But I see the life after wartime.
That's a very good Talking Head song. And... It's a real Talking Head song.
Oh.
And
I had no idea.
I think that could be representative of me deciding, like, I'm so fucking tired of being blue and depressed. Like, I'm so tired, and I'm gonna, like, just, you know what, I'm done, and I'm gonna accept the help that's been offered so many times, and just, like, actually go forward with that, and see, like, and just leave that sort of the internal struggle behind. So maybe that's how I'm choosing to interpret it.
There's definitely a struggle or a fight that is being left.
Yeah, but lots and lots
of upheaval.
I've been fighting
myself a lot of the time. So.
And then just
Katie,
like,
versus Katie.
Yeah. Katie versus Katie.
And how you deal with that going forward is going to be a measure of your character, etc.
Hopefully it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Probably got the goods.
I really like that because it's kind of like you can have conflict, but then it's just like, how do you cope
Where
with...
Where do you go?
When the world turns upside down.
Oh my god.
And then, like, you know, after the war, will you go back to New York? Will you practice law?
For work next door. Okay. Oh, goddammit.
Okay, so the Knave of so Swords goated. Is your future. Okay. So the Knave of Swords. So this is a person kind of gazing. It looks very much like kind of a feminine...
It's page. Like Arya Stark, honestly.
Yes, or I was thinking Brienne of Tarth.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, Gwendolyn Christie. She's definitely someone I identify with a little bit, just being an unwieldy woman.
Yeah. So just like, yeah, staring out into the distance kind of thing. So the Knave of Swords is thoughtful and contained person who considers things well before taking action. This is kind of the future thing.
This is the future.
He takes time to see the larger perspective and seeks understanding in all things. He's open to new ideas and philosophies while still respecting traditional views. There comes that tradition piece again from the beginning. His mind is more receptive than his heart, at least at present. Emotional entanglements might feel like a distraction from greater purpose.
Hmm.
If this card doesn't represent a person, it can mean a time of negotiation that requires the willingness to see all sides of the question dispassionately. Intellectualism, calm scrutiny, detachment from personal entanglements.
Hmm.
That's tough to do.
Interesting.
Don't take things personally.
Mm-hmm.
We also discussed on the car ride.
The four agreements, yes.
Yeah, I think if I were to really... Of course, I'm applying that to my own understanding of my life instead of somebody else trying to tell me what it is. It's kind of like... Like, I really want to stop fighting myself constantly of, like, the, well, maybe I should be doing this. Because I get every possibility shoots to the front of my head. I'm like, well, I'm not doing it right. I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing the wrong things. And I don't ever let myself sort of relax and have a good time.
Or enjoy your successes.
Or enjoy my successes. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly thinking, like, well, oh, this can be taken from me. Or, like, people are waiting to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff.
That's why you got your swords out here.
I got my swords out.
But I kind of feel like, so from the middle card where it's just like, okay, there's been this big break, this conflict, and now I'm turning and I'm going to choose how I'm going to deal with it. It seems like this is the way that you're going to deal with
it. It seems like an mindfulness card. Or an introspective time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, but I've been introspecting so long, but maybe now with this assistance that I'm looking for, that it will be an easier journey and that I will actually change.
Yeah, and that
somewhere.
It doesn't have to
new
be
insights.
It doesn't have to be all about the emotional content of that either. You can be like, oh, I'm going to plan some stuff and be more strategic and just like
That's what I
set
read
some
too,
goals.
Or
instead of being all wrapped up in anxiety and feelings and
it's
stuff
hard
like
it's hard
that.
For me to like you're right and because and I was having a hard time sort of seeing it that way because like I am both things at the same time always like very very analytical and logical and super super emotional so those things are always interconnected but because I'm so logical I think that my emotions are also logical like that they I can logic my way out of feeling some way
right
so I get really stuck in that, like, I feel bad, but I shouldn't feel bad, but I feel bad, but I shouldn't feel bad, so then I just feel worse. Instead of just, like, just let it happen and be okay with it, and then, like, just, it is much easier for me to sort of, like, understand things as, like, habits and whatnot, instead of being like, well, there's a very good reason that I might feel this way. I'm just like, oh, I'm being emotional.
Oh, interesting.
So I think there's a lot to reflect on there.
Yeah, I like what you said about mindfulness and sort of being the dispassionate observer of yourself is a really important way to deal with, like, narrative therapy talks about that, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's not I don't have anxiety, it's what's my relationship with my anxiety. And you can kind of take yourself away and, like, observe that, who's actually, like, looking, like, who's observing your mind. It's not just you, it's like, you can observe yourself in more of a...
This is, like, the most basic spread you could ever do, pretty much. So I've done this, and I did a, like, a clock, almost, spread. I forget what it was actually called, but I did that, and I've been getting, like, almost exactly the same readings every time, where it's just kind of, like, fucking let go and just do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have already embedded so much responsibility into your life that there's no
the
way you can be,
you
can like let that fall apart by taking care of yourself and doing the things you want to do. Like it's already, the foundations are already built. It'll be easy to come back to it.
That's
you don't have to just keep building this thing over and over. Like I just have this foundation that I've been building over and over and over and I'm not putting the fucking house on top.
Right.
So it's like maybe build the house a little bit now
because
it's okay to like live in something for a while.
But like you kind of had to have some big like kerplow like 2016.
Well, it's
being
been
like
such
a
kerplow.
Yeah,
it's been
my understanding
such a tough
of everything year. Has been just like exploded,
and
I don't necessarily want to like leave my life behind, but it is recontextualizing everything. Yeah. So it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly reinventing yourself.
Mm-hmm. And just trying to like give myself permission to be alive, like and to just be a complicated person who sometimes needs a lot of help. Like, I hate needing people. I feel like a burden all the time. So, so like, the idea that it's just give yourself a break, kind of, like, is something that I feel like the cards are trying to tell me repeatedly.
I like that.
Yeah. I know, it's so funny. People can be so nice to everybody else and then so unkind to themselves.
And I like how you were saying that your partner was really just being like, hey, don't talk to yourself that way. Like, don't be mean to somebody that I love so much. Like, she's really just gently, like,
yeah,
just kind of being like, hey, I hear that you're feeling shitty, but, like, stop it. Because you're not being nice to yourself. Like,
I've been calling myself a dummy a lot lately. Aww. And she's like, you are one of the smartest people I know. Like, just because you don't know how to, like, code in Java does not mean you're stupid.
Yeah, I don't.
It just means you have much different knowledge bases.
Yeah.
And they're all valid. I was like, shut up, stop being reasonable.
Quit being reasonable.
Quit being an amazing partner that I love very much.
I get that with my partner.
It's like,
I want to just fight with you. Come on.
Like, no.
He's like, no, I'm just calm. It's like, God damn it.
Oh, I understand why you feel that way. Oh, okay. And I'm not usually mad at him. He just gets to hear my rants. And then he waits them out. And then... See, I'm always feel very righteous in the moment. I'm like, I feel this way, and it's valid, and my feelings are very strong. And then, like, the next day, I'm like, oh, why did I have all those feelings?
So that's so interesting, because I'm very much not that way in that, like, I will have these very strong feelings, but I'm like, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, this feeling is not convenient. I don't like feeling this feeling.
Feelings are not convenient.
Oh, they are not. They are not at all. So... It's hard being alive, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed.
You posted something interesting on Tumblr the other day where like looking at, because you know how we always say, like, instead of, like, don't kill yourself, you can just leave your life behind. Like, yeah. you can yeah, actually just true. Leave.
Oh, constructive, what was it called? Do you remember? The action, like, it's so much easier to sort of, like, to get rid of things than it is to build them, like, instantly.
Yeah, but so the sort of concept, like, I always sort of say that where it's like, oh, you know, you can just totally leave everything behind, you can go start a new life somewhere else, like, you can totally reinvent yourself. But then it's like saying that is coming sort of from a place of extreme privilege. To just be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, why is it so much harder for us to do those things? And yeah, because it was like, you can definitely... You can leave your relationship, you can quit your job, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be another one that you can just go into.
And it doesn't mean those feelings inside will go away.
Yeah. But so it's like, it's very constraining. Like, some people can't just pack up and leave everything,
that's
right?
True.
Like, because you don't have
true.
The material resources.
Or to leave your problems.
Yeah. Constrained by society.
Blah. Yeah.
But you can always change the way you feel and react to your own shit. And that's really the only thing we have control over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our reactions.
Aside from writing fantasy and science fiction.
Yeah.
Then you can craft your own reality.
Then you can work out all your shit in some fictional characters.
Right? Like that. I'm into that.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting...
Yeah, we all have really interesting readings. That. That was really fun.
Yeah.
That was good.
I like, thank you for reading my cards.
Oh, you're welcome for reading your cards. Thank you for reading mine, Chris.
Yeah. No probs.
It's a good deck. It feels good.
Yeah.
It's just a deck that feels really good in your hands.
Let me see that deck.
The deck it's like a big glossy deck and it feels so good in my hands. Sorry, that's so rude. Like, we're talking about fucking the devil and I'm so rude. I'm so sorry, you guys.
You can save that for when we come up with our own deck. The dick deck.
The dick deck. The dick deck. Oh, that's so fucking
just
funny.
Tarot cards that are butts and
that ended up not being very spooky though.
Yeah,
reading our tarots, it wasn't like we seanced or something.
Yeah, well, tarot cards never been spooky to me really, but it's just really fun to be reflective on that. And
it's just like
we know that Lauren will go along with us on these things.
Oh, of course.
I've never pulled the death card for anything yet, which is weird. I've done so many readings and I've never pulled it.
I used to read cards more often, and then I think I just got I don't know. I've gone through like non-believer phases too, or like really like apathetic phases where I'm like, I believe in things so much and then all of a sudden I'll be like, nothing means anything.
I think that's natural.
Yeah, I think that's a natural.
I go through those phases.
That's
all
like the seasons. See, but that's the older I get, the more I appreciate the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a growth and there's a blossoming, there's a death and a revival, and that's just life, and that's going to happen to all of us.
So goddamn cyclical.
It's so cyclical, and for that reason, I like the holidays. I love the little lights in the windows. I love celebrating the dark, but I know, it's
that,
I really like the seasons.
What's the word? It's Finnish, I think, it's something about the coziness, like, it's a word that means, you know, that's what we do in the winter, is it's dark for so long, so we just, like, find a way to find pleasure indoors with, like, big woolly blankets and cups of hot cocoa and fires and... Just, like, being with people in a quiet way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the funny thing about Halloween, too, is I think, especially when you're younger, you know, and maybe you want something spooky to happen, or you kind of want something exciting to happen, or you want to go to some party and everyone's going to, something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, rarely it does. Our expectations are rarely met in that way, but some of the best things about Halloween are sometimes just reconnecting with people or going to a party and seeing people you don't normally see. Mm-hmm. And
like, Abraham Lincoln, I haven't seen you in years. You look terrible.
Something's going on with your head.
Missing from your head. Oh, I found the word. The word is hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, and it translates to coziness, and it's like a special... Oh, it's Danish. It wasn't Finnish. My bad.
Oh, they're going to be upset.
Oh, they're going to be
furious. You're going to get flames now.
For us, yeah. They're going to fling lingonberries at me or some shit. Wait, that's Swedes.
That's Swedish.
Oh, no, I'm in so much trouble, and I am Swedish. That's terrible.
You're a little Swedish berry, aren't you?
I'm just a little Swedish berry, you guys. Aww. This has been a really lovely time.
It was nice to reconnect with you over candlelight and tea.
You. And tarot.
Yeah.
And some spooky things. Do we have any last spooky words? Boo!
Aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light?